You just can't get the crew, can you? That's the plaintive refrain of skippers the world over. And when you're as rubbish at sailing as I am, you really need crew who know what they're doing. Trouble is, when you're as rubbish at sailing as I am, anyone who knows what they're doing is either A, sailing with someone else, B, has suddenly been taken unwell with a mysterious tropical disease, C, is visiting a relative who is about to be taken unwell with a mysterious tropical disease, or D, busy. It's the last one that hurts the most, because it's plain insensitive. They can't even be bothered to give you a decent excuse. But I was in a quandary. The annual trauma of the Mordentown Regatta was looming, and I needed crew. Although I've sailed single-handed in the regatta several times, the reason I decided I'd need crew on this occasion was because I'd totally run out of plausible excuses, and implausible ones, for doing so badly every year. I'd exhausted all other options, so the last chance was to target hapless innocents in the last chance saloon, the Queen's Head. And for example, my mate James, who is mostly in the Queen's Head. Now, James is a motorboater, which means he knows nothing of the proper etiquette of sailing, unlike us yachties, who got certificates for that kind of stuff. He's also an angler, which means he anchors on the start-finish line of any race that's going on, because that's where the fish are. The other place fish are is right by the upwind racing mark of your sailing club. James swears quite a lot, and he also swears by squid, which is his preferred bait for catching nothing. Although no one's ever seen one, it must be quite exhausting, because whenever James has caught a lot of nothings, he has to go to the Queen's Head for a reviver and tell everyone about it. As for the squid, that's the subject of a high-level inquiry at Morden Yacht Club, after James left several tons of it in the freezer, then someone else turned off all the electrics for the week. James was mortified. Pat, who runs the club galley, was livid. James was terrified. James went to the Queen's Head to mourn his squid. All of which, I think, makes James eminently suitable as crew. The key thing is that he's reliable and available. Well, he is always in the Queen's Head, which is where I'd impressed upon him the need for punctuality the following morning. We needed to be off from Morden at 06.00.00.00 a.m. precisely to catch the tide downriver. At approximately 06.04.35.72 a.m. he ambled along the pontoon, humming jauntily, wearing open-toned saddles, with a fag in the side of his mouth, and a cup of steaming coffee. Just the one note, and just for him, note. Apart from the coffee oversight, it was a perfect start. You see, the most important thing about racing is having someone to blame, and James had played right into my hands. From there on, I could spend the rest of the day taunting him for being late and totally screwing up our chances. As dawn gathered, we'd sailed downriver, and I taught him everything I knew in about 7.5 minutes. It's not that he's quick, it's just that I don't know very much. We were way early for the start, so we practiced tacking and jibing and soon got into a routine. Every time I said, "Ready about," James said, "Hang on a sec, I'm just rolling a fag." Every time I cried, "Stand by to jibe," he poured himself a cup of coffee from a thermos that had more internal volume than Doctor Who's TARDIS. And when I said, "Jibe-o," he would raise his cup and say, "Tally-o, cheers, mate." Anyway, so much for the technicalities. As we were still early, we practiced a few race starts, which all went flawlessly. Come the real start, though, we were nearly 3 minutes late over the line, which was all James's fault for turning up 4.35.72 minutes late at the outset. In fact, it was only due to my prowess that I'd managed to claw back more than a minute, I explained to him. Then we settled into our routine. Every time we approached a turning mark, James said, "Hang on a sec, I'm just rolling a fag," or poured himself a coffee from his TARDIS flask. Then he started to think up new moves. And on one occasion, when I hollered, "Stand by to jibe," he said, "Hang on a sec, I'm having a pee." Now, what you need to know here is that peeing aboard a sailfish and jibing are mutually exclusive activities. Weeing involves standing up, while jibing involves sitting down. How James does it while smoking a fag and pouring a cup of coffee is an absolute miracle. Well, at another critical moment, my jibe had to wait while James rubbed in sunblock as the fleet disappeared in the opposite direction. But probably his best move was asking me to take pictures of him on his mate's yacht for his Facebook page, right in the middle of a developing port starboard situation. As this was the first time anyone has ever called a sailfish a yacht, I had to forgive him that one. And in the meantime, something very weird was happening. We actually overtook a few boats. I'll be honest, we didn't win, but we didn't come last either. Back in Morden, as I clung onto a pontoon cleat while clasping both dock lines in my teeth, James skipped ashore and said, "Cheers, mate," as he sauntered off along the pontoon, humming jauntily in his open-toed sandals, smoking a fag while pouring a cup of coffee. When I next popped into the Queen's Head, and one of the barstool sailors asked how me and James got on in the regatta, I shook my head wearily and said, "You just can't get the crew." Well, if the truth got out that James was the least bit handy, other skippers would only try and nick him. Good crew are hard to find.